The digital production buzz at NAB is sponsored by Maxon and Thalo Arts.
It's the last show of the second day of NAB, and this time we're talking with Patrick Santucci of Sigma, Cameron Yon of AmpLive, Paul Rodriguez of MPSC, and as always, wrapping up all of our coverage, James DeRuvo with the final report from Dottle News.
Live from the 2017 NAB show in Las Vegas, media, technology, products, news. Connecting media professionals around the globe with the latest in technology. The NAB Show Buzz starts now.
And welcome back to the second day of NAB. We've got two more days to go and all kinds of interesting stories to tell. This is Larry Jordan as the Digital Production Buzz covers NAB. We're going to be talking with a company called Sigma. They make cameras and lenses, and Patrick Santucci is their technical and marketing representative. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, how's it going?
So describe in a little bit more detail than I was able to sketch out. What does Sigma do?
Well, we are a family-owned manufacturer of cameras and lenses. We do cinema lenses, still photography lenses, and then we also make our own camera system using the Foveon sensor.
In this era of digital cameras, Sigma still makes its own cameras. Are they? Tell me about them.
Yeah, so they use our own sensor, the Foveon sensor, designed in Santa Clara, California. And basically, it uses a panchromatic sensor of red, green, and blue to absorb light. So what it does is produce a very sharp image. Resolution is incredible on them. Color fidelity is amazing on them. And they're quite unique, similar to a medium format camera system.
Now, these would be stills or video?
Yeah, stills only. Yeah.
So what would be an application for this type of camera?
Large prints. So if you're doing like billboards or anything like that, again, the resolution is pretty insane on them.
Talk to me about your lenses, what you've got there.
Sure, that's definitely our primary business. So mostly we do still lenses. Some people use them for video work as well. But we make over 45 lenses. Recently, in the past 5 years, we've rebranded ourselves with the Sigma Global Vision lenses. And basically, we really wanted to up our quality control and introduce ourselves as a more serious company. So every lens is tested. We use more premium materials. So with every lens being tested, we record that data. If the lens ever comes back for whatever reason, we can look at the data from before it shipped. So always trying to improve our product and offer not only a very high-quality product, but also a product that's affordable and accessible to every type of photographer.
And while you say that you principally make lenses for stills, you also make lenses for video, or people take your stills lenses and use them for video?
Well, both now. So we find that a lot of people use our still lenses that are oriented towards still and use them for video work. And then in the past, in maybe 9 months at IBC, we announced that we'll start doing cinema lenses. So we took the same optical design that we got from our still lenses, which are known for being very sharp, contrasty, the bokeh is beautiful. And then now they're rehoused into a like beautiful, fully weather-sealed metal construction lens. As of today, we have 10, and the introduction to the market in the past 9 months has been with welcome hands. People are dying for affordable products that are really built the way that we build products.
Well, I know every lens probably has a different price, but what price range do your lenses fall within?
As of right now, the most expensive one is around $4,000, and it's a pretty unique zoom. It's very fast. It's a T2, 18 to 35 T2. You also have a 50 to 100 T2. So they're very bright. They're robust. They're when people pick them up, this is why we do these shows. When people pick them up, they fall in love with just their build alone is wonderful. And it's all done in our one factory. We don't outsource to China. We don't outsource to Vietnam. Everything's done into one factory in Aizu, Japan. It's a town that's known for its meticulousness. And a lot of people that start working at that factory, they work at a young age, maybe like 20, out of college or whatever. And they retire at 60. People love working for this company.
That's very cool. So yeah. What have you got for us that's new this NAB?
This show, we are showcasing two new primes that we announced. It's a 14mm T2 and a 135mm T2. So right now we have 7 primes in our lineup. These guys are pretty unique. We also have a still version of each lens. That's a 14mm f1.8 and a 135 1.8. So very fast, sharp beautiful lenses.
Well, there's a lot of lenses from a lot of manufacturers out there. What criteria should somebody use to decide which lens to get, and what does Sigma have that makes them unique?
Well, we actually very much emphasize creating lenses that no one else has ever made in this industry. We like to push the boundaries on what gear can achieve and what we can achieve. So, for instance, the 18-35 f1.8 is actually a world's first. There was never a 1.8 zoom before, and that lens alone has changed so many people's minds about our company. But again, we offer really high quality products that people really fall in love with. 4-year warranty in the USA, handmade in Japan too, individually tested. So a lot of people try this gear for the first time, and they're, you know, they fall in love with it.
Now, you've mentioned the fact that you've got this F1.8 zoom. Any other new news for NAB? I don't want to cut off your announcements.
No new news as of yet. It was just the 14 T2 and the 135 T2.
How does a filmmaker decide which length lens to use? What's the difference between a shorter focal range, a medium focal range, and a longer focal range?
Well, it really depends on what kind of shot they're looking for, and like the scene itself. You know, the widers give you a wider perspective, the longers give you a more compressed image. That's usually tends to be for. I know in the still side, the longer is it helps with compression. It makes people look slimmer, and that's where people gravitate towards. So if it's maybe like headshots or up close with someone's face, that usually tends to be a longer focal length.
And then why prime versus
zoom?
Zoom. That's the word I'm looking for. I couldn't think of the word. Yeah. Well, why prime lenses versus zoom?
Well, primes tend to be sharper. They are less complex, but that lack of complexity in terms of like extra glass or elements actually helps them to be sharper. We also can make them brighter, so T1.5 opposed to our other zooms, which are T2. So you get more light gathering capabilities. But then again, on the side of the zooms, it really depends if you need to be more versatile. So you don't get as much light gathering capabilities, but you get more versatility.
So more run and gun would take a zoom, and where you have a chance to really think about your lens, like a standard cinema shoot, you could use a prime.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've used phrases like T2, as opposed to an f-stop. What's the difference between the two?
Yeah, so T-stop is the actual measurement of light hitting the sensor versus f-stop, which is the measurement of the aperture.
So the f-stop determines how open the iris is.
Mm-hmm.
But the T-stop refers to how much light's hitting the sensor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So which is better?
I don't think there's an exact better or worse scenario. I believe the T-stop is more accurate, so that's why that's used in movie production when you need to have as much accuracy as possible controlling
so
the light.
So the lower the T-number, the more light passes through,
yeah.
Or the higher the T-number, the more light passes
the
through?
The lower the number, the brighter the image is going to be. But also the more shallow the depth of field would be. For instance, if you shoot at f1.4, the depth of field is going to be very narrow, while the rest of the image is going to be more blurred out or bokeh. And then if you shoot at, for instance, f16, the image is going to be sharper overall across the entire focal plane.
But require more light at the same time.
But require, yes, exactly. So you have to compensate for that.
So, if you were to think about one thing which makes Sigma lenses special, what would that thing be? What should people keep in mind when they think about Sigma?
Well, first, you're supporting a family-owned company. We're one of the few left in this industry. But also a company that is aimed at providing gear for every type of photographer, whether you're new to it or a seasoned veteran. Our gear is aimed at providing something wonderful for everybody.
And for people that want more information, where can they go on the web?
SigmaPhoto.com.
That's all one word, SigmaPhoto, SigmaPhoto.com. And Patrick Santucci is the technical and marketing representative for Sigma. Patrick, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you. Yeah,
have yourself a great show.
Thank you.
Once again at NAB, Maxon Cinema 4D is hosting presentations by the most respected 3D artists in visual effects, motion graphics, and design. This year, there will be 28 unique presentations from 20 different artists. You can see them all at Maxon's booth at NAB in the South Lower Hall, booth 6324, or if you're not attending NAB, you can watch them on c4dlive.com. Even better, when you register on c4dlive.com, you'll be entered into a raffle to win from over $24,000 in prizes. Maxon Cinema 4D. Stop by Maxon's booth at NAB in the South Lower Hall, booth 6324, or tune in to the live stream on c4dlive.com. That's c4dlive.com.
You can't throw a rock at NAB without hitting something that has the word streaming on it somewhere. They're supporting streaming, think streaming is a good idea, or they're deeply upstream. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but a company that is relatively new that's moving into streaming is called Amp Live. Cameron John is the Chief Marketing Officer for the company. Cameron, thanks for joining us
today. Hey, thanks for having me, Larry.
So tell me about Amp Live.
Sure. So Amp Live builds audiences for your live stream. So we take your live content. It doesn't matter what platform it starts on. We take your live content and we get it in front of your precise target audience, and we guarantee your views. If you need 10,000 viewers, great. You need 10 million, we can do that too.
Now, what do you mean you get it in front of the right audience? You wave a flag and say, hey, people, come listen?
Precisely. No. What we do is we take your live stream. It could start on Facebook. It could start on YouTube. We don't care where it starts. We package it up into a banner unit, set of banner units on, and then we put it across the ad networks, and it shows up on websites. So whatever websites you might visit, Larry, or whatever websites I might visit, we get served different ad units based on our preferences, based on the digital footprints we leave behind on the internet. Those are all dynamically served, and we were able to take your live content in that magic hour or two when it's live, and get it in front of people that match your criteria. So we can target by geography, demographics, job title, companies.
Well, it just so happens that I run a podcast which is streamed live.
Okay.
Now, when you say live streaming, are you talking a program such as us that's on once a week, except when we're on NAB and we refuse to stop talking? Or are you talking like one of the broadcast stations that stream either channel 24 hours a day filled with programming? What does streaming mean to you?
But for us, the context of streaming is live video streaming. So it's usually got some moving images involved as well as the sound. So we could certainly help you, but our bread and butter, our engine is tuned for live video streaming. So typically, like this morning, we did the NAB live show. We pushed a million viewers to their the shows that are downstairs at the MET stage.
So it does not have to be a 24-hour channel.
Of course
not. It can be an event.
Yeah.
So if I'm streaming an event with audio and video, mm-hmm. what do I need to tell you for you to make me successful?
You need to tell us where this video is going to start its life, the URL of the video, where it's going to start. You need to give me a couple of banner units, some creative that says, hey, watch the Larry Jordan Show, click to watch now, and that's it. We take it from there. And and your target audience, who would you like to get it in front of? And then we put it in front of them across the web, across our publisher network, and it's like we read their mind. They see it on a web page of, doesn't matter what web page it is, they see it on a web page, it's someone talking at them, it's moving, it's engaging, and then they click through it and they go back to your website and watch the rest.
So this isn't marketing while the event is going on?
Only in that magic moment while it's live. There's a lot of people that will help you promote your recorded video. You can do that on Facebook, YouTube, there's lots of places that will help you there. We're one of the only companies that will help you promote your live content while it's live so that you're able to capture that magical moment of, oh, wow, that's actually live. It's actually happening right now. Let's go see what happens.
So where do you make your money?
We charge by the view. So for NAB Live Show or for any of the other clients that we work with, they come to us and say, hey, I need 100,000 people to view. We charge them by the view.
So you would charge, if it was 100,000 people, you'd charge 100,000 times your per view rate.
Right, exactly.
And what do you need? So you don't need setup.
No.
So what's the magic? How does this work?
So we are just the distribution slice. So if you're gonna live stream from NAB, for example, somebody would have the camera set up, they would have their video platform already set up. We just come in at the very end and take the URL of when the content's live, put it across our ad network, and get it onto premium publishers like New York Times, Wall Street Journal, TechCrunch, wherever you prefer.
Now, can a smaller event publisher do this if they say they want 10,000 viewers?
Or for sure.
You don't talk to anybody unless it's 2 or 3 million.
No. We have a $500 minimum to start because we're kind of tweaking the dials for them to make sure that the targeting gets exactly where they need it to be. But we go all the way up to, we did Al Gore's Climate Reality Project in December and got them 25 million views in 24 hours. So it could be a one-off event with a really small publisher. We don't care. Or it could be a regular stream of live video content once a week, once a month, with millions of people each time.
So what we've created is we'll create the original source, mm-hmm. that's standard video production.
Exactly.
We'll feed that to a distribution network, whether mm-hmm. it's live stream or something else.
Yeah.
And then you'll piggyback on top of that, and you become the marketing for that pre-existing stream.
You
so
got
I don't
it.
Need to do anything else except turn your marketing folks
exactly.
loose.
We're the turbocharger that sits on top of your live stream to make sure that you're getting that guaranteed audience, because you know, everybody wants to live stream now, or at least they're talking about it. But if live streaming doesn't turn into customers and sales prospects and things that your sales team can follow up with, it's going to be a flash in the pan and it'll die out in a couple years. But if we can help marketers and broadcasters understand how to get very large audiences to watch their live content, well, then they can automatically show their advertisers and their sponsors, hey, I got 10 million people to see it. Let's talk about sponsorship.
Well, let's also talk about whatever new news you've got for NAB before we run out of time. What's the latest news?
We are now able to do something we call attention retargeting. So what this means is it's not just we're going to get you a million people to see it while it's live. We're also going to cookie that audience and chop it up in the buckets that say this person watched for 5 seconds, this person watched for 30 seconds, this person watched for 2 minutes. And where that's really impactful is this is how you're turning live streams into customers. Because the person that watched it for 5 seconds, maybe you should follow up with them and say, hey, here's the recorded version. You missed out. If somebody watched it for a minute, you actually caught their attention. Maybe follow up with a white paper or an ebook that says, here, would you like to get deeper about this subject? And if they watched for 2 or 3 minutes, you had their full attention. Maybe offer them a free product demo or a sales consultation. So it's actually taking the anonymous world of live stream and making it into known prospects that you can follow up with, and you're driving sales pipeline with it.
This could be very cool for people that are trying to reach a medium-sized audience as well.
For sure, or a very specific audience. We can get you as specific as you need.
I happen to have a great need for reaching a specific audience. You and I will chat after this program is over. What kind of customers are you looking to find?
Most of our business is with people that are putting on events, but we're also very strong with broadcasters. So anybody that's a marketer, anybody that's doing a live stream, that's all we're looking for. We're looking to turn broadcasters into marketers by showing them how to get a guaranteed large audience for your live video content.
Very cool. If you were to, is there anybody else that does this kind of marketing that you know of? I mean, I'm thinking of thousands of streaming companies and millions of people that do the production side.
Exactly.
But is there anybody else that's like you?
There's nobody doing it for the actual live stream when it's live. You can, on Facebook, for example, you can take a recorded piece of video and put some marketing spend behind it and get an audience. But nobody's doing it in that magic moment when it's live because it's hard to do.
Why did you guys decide to start?
We saw a huge... We broke out of Ustream 2 years ago. We launched the company at Sprocket here at NAB 2 years ago because we saw so many people watching live video content, and we really saw the need in the market for getting people to watch that live content, right? If a tree falls in the forest and no one hears it, does it make a sound? No, it doesn't make a sound. Someone has to hear it for it to make a sound.
And for people that want to hear how to have their live stream make a sound, where can they go on the web to learn more?
The website is amp.live, amp.live.
That's amp.live, and Cameron John is the Chief Marketing Officer for Amp Live. Cameron, this has been eye-opening. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Larry.
Have yourself a great show.
You too.
It's brand new, and it's part of my video training library. Premium subscribers can now access practice media and demo files. These practice files mean that you can follow along with my online training using the same files that I'm using. This helps you learn faster by mirroring what I'm doing. Before, these were only available for purchase in our store. And thinking of benefits, did you know that in addition to live streaming more than 1,600 training movies, premium subscribers can download one webinar a month for free? This means that you don't need to be connected to the web to refresh your memory on how key software works. This benefit alone is worth more than $300 a year. To subscribe, visit LarryJordan.com/membership. That's LarryJordan.com/membership.
It's easy to get distracted at NAB with technology and all the hardware and all the toys, but it is it's more important to begin to understand what your craft is. And that's where the motion picture sound editors folks come in. I want to introduce Paul Rodriguez. He's a board treasurer for the MPSE. Paul, good to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
How would you describe MPSE?
Well, the MPSE is an organization that has been around for 65 years. It has promoted the art and craft of sound editing for motion pictures and television. And since its inceptance, things have changed, obviously. So we now embrace the world of gaming and all of the other aspects of sound editorial. So we have a award show called The Golden Reels, which I produce, and we give 28 awards for sound editorial in all aspects, ADR, Foley, sound editorial, sound design, and it's a well known entity in Hollywood. It is a place where everybody wants to be.
Well, you know, I was just thinking, it's one of the sad facts of life about editing, and even sadder for audio, that when you do your job perfectly, everybody says, what a great picture. Mm-hmm. And when you do your job badly, they say, boy, the sound guy really screwed up. There's just no credit, you know?
No, I would agree with you. And I've been a member of the CAS, which is the Cinema Audio Society, and that's more on the mixer side and the production side. But the MPSE is actually on the post-production side. So
define the differences between them.
The difference is that on the production side, they are doing the recording, and they also handle the mixing side. And in the middle is the sound editorial side. So all of the sound elements that have been recorded on the set or in the field come to the sound editors. The sound editors make magic, and then they send it to the re-recording mixers, and at the end of the day, the teamwork exists. And
so the guys that record the production sound, then they give all the separate pieces to the sound editor, who, just like a video editor tells the story with pictures,
exactly.
They're telling the story with audio.
Yes.
And then once the story's told, we got to mix it like we have to color grade it.
Exactly.
So that goes to the mixer, who then takes the edited version and makes it sound right.
And there's usually a couple mixers, and one handles sound design. One handles sound editorial, and one handles music and dialogue. And they are distinctly different, but together they make the movie.
Well, why would they be different? Why couldn't one guy do both?
Well, they can. And there are styles. New York, for instance, has one mixer that does everything. Traditionally, Los Angeles, Hollywood, if you can call it that, has always had two mixers. Back in the day, there were three mixers. So one did dialogue, one did music, and one did sound effects. That's kind of changed a little bit because of technology. Everything's a little bit more easier.
Was it the need for multiple mixers because the craft skills were different, or because the equipment they used was different?
Exactly, the equipment that was different. Back then, we were hanging 35-millimeter mag tracks. Now we're doing everything on Pro Tools. Now we're doing everything on automated consoles. The automation did not exist back in the day. So the three mixers have gone to two. And there are the one mixer situations, which probably are just as good.
So what brings you to NAB?
I'm here for... I'm wearing a couple different hats, although I don't like to mess up my hair. The first thing is introducing the Super Session for Star Wars tomorrow, which is we've been doing with MPSC for probably 5 or 6 years. And what we're going to be introducing is the supervising sound editor who's worked on that movie, the visual effects people, and I think we are in the big theater. I think it's going to be a sellout. Last year, we had to turn people away for the last Star Wars. So this year is going to be fabulous. Pretty excited about it.
Okay, that's hat number one.
The other hat is I work. That's my non-paying job. My paying job actually is working for Roundabout Entertainment. And Roundabout Entertainment is a full-service post-production facility that resides in Burbank, California. And we have 60,000 square feet of post-production love, and we just opened 10,000 square feet in Santa Monica. So we do everything from sound to color to... I mean, every aspect of post-production that you can possibly have.
Well, NAB is a toy store. I mean, it's got every possible thing you want. Have you seen anything that caught your eye as a sound editor?
Well, in the sound editing business, what we are looking at is the proliferation of Atmos 4, which is a Dolby system for both feature film and for television home entertainment.
Which is surround sound, except now you also have up and down as well as
left and
right.
It is immersive sound, and there are many different aspects of this, but immersive sound, this year at our union facility, which is called Southlake Audio Services, we did the first season of Westworld. Well, we've just been asked to do the Atmos version of that. So we will go back into that first season, and there were 10 episodes, and we will redo it in the Atmos world. So we are building a stage right now in order to do that. And I think that's going to be something that is going to catch on. I mean, Starz has been doing it with Black Sails. We did the Game of Thrones back when I was with Tadeo in Dolby Atmos. I think it's going to be something that's going to be enjoyed in the home environment. And not because everybody's going to build a Atmos stage in their house. It's because technology is allowing us with these new sound bars to... actually recreate that process. And those sound bars throw sound all over the room. And I think it's going to be pretty amazing. That's and they're relatively cool. Inexpensive. So you don't have to do crazy construction and you'll still get the effect.
Well, for people that want more information about the Motion Picture Sound Editors Guild?
Yes. It's not a guild.
Not a guild.
No.
Motion Picture Sound Editor...
It's an organization.
The Motion Picture Sound Editors Organization.
Yes.
Where can you go on the web to learn more?
MPSE.org.
That's MPSE.org.
And if you want to know about Roundabout Entertainment, roundabout.com.
And Roundabout Entertainment is roundabout, all one word, roundabout.com.
Yes.
And Paul Rodriguez, wearing multiple hats without actually messing his hair, is here to talk about both. And Paul, thanks for joining us
today. My pleasure.
Take care. Have yourself a great show.
Thank you.
I can't think of a better time than the last segment of the last show of the day to get a summary of what the news is at NAB that we have not yet been able to cover. And the perfect person to talk to about that is James DeRuvo. He's the film and technology senior reporter for Dottel News. James, welcome back.
I get geeky, so you don't have to.
That's right. You did all the working, so I get to sit still. So give me some summaries. What's happening out there?
Well, today I have a few drones that I like, some really cool ones. Adobe's booth has been standing room only as they showed off some of their new features in Creative Cloud. And Switcher Studio goes remote with DJI's Osmo Gimbal. And there's an indie film and music festival coming from MusicShare. And I swear, Larry, we've been invaded by aliens.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. I've seen some of the people walking around here. So what do you want to start first?
Well, look, going to drones. I was on my way to interview somebody earlier this morning, and I walked by this really super tiny drone. It's called the Zerotech Dobby, and it's about the size of an iPhone. Collapse. It's got the rotors collapsed. It doesn't have any feet because you just pick it up out of the air. And what struck me about it was it's capable of filming in 4K. And it's so silent, it could sneak up on you, and you wouldn't even know it was there.
Wow.
And what's really amazing is they put 20 of them in their little, they have a little enclosure so it doesn't, you know, run into people. And they put 20 of them, they were all flying simultaneously in concert.
Oh, moving, like synchronized dancing.
Synchronized dancing. And it just got me to thinking, man, you got multiple cameras and they can move together. Man, the motion control thoughts just will keep me up at night. So, but the Zerotech Dobby is really, really super cool. It multi-drone formation, deadly silent. It's got tracking, so it'll track you. It's got motion control. Really, it really, really super cool. And it literally will collapse into your pocket. I thought it was really neat.
Very cool. Okay, what else we got?
Well, then I went by Switcher Studio, saw what they got going on, and they've got integration now with the DJI Osmo Mobile. So what they've done is they actually...
Which, by the way, is a gimbal.
It's a handheld gimbal.
It's like a stabilizer for the camera.
For your mobile device. They do have one that has their camera on it, but they also have one that's for your mobile phone. And... Nick Mattingly told me what they did was they integrated it into their app, and then they went and showed it to DJI. DJI went, oh, that's cool. Let's do it together. And so basically, literally, what you can do is you have complete control over the Osmo through your mobile device. So you could set up four of these and control them and not only switch between each device, but control pan, tilt, aperture settings, shutter speed. You can have it move. You can set it up to track people. And on top of that, they've added, you can adjust depth of field. You can even use, and this is my favorite feature, you can use the iPhone's LED light as a tally light. That's just awesome. And then they've also added a gray card feature into Switcher Studio itself, so you can literally do a gray card check and adjust the white balance of the phone. So, and Nick Mattingly told me that while Switcher Studio is iOS only, they are exploring adding support for Android cameras so that people that have Android phones can at least get the camera signal into the Switcher system, and that way they could do their live streams from their mobile device. So Switcher Studio has got some fun stuff going on. They're playing.
Yeah, they are. They're having a good time. We had a wonderful visit with Nick when he was at the show just on yesterday. So, and he was on the highlights today. So, yeah, he's cool stuff.
Yeah, done some really super stuff.
What else we got?
Well, I went over and I talked to the people over at Adobe. And like I said, standing room only there. It was wild how many people go over to that massive gargantuan booth that they got going on. It's almost as big as Blackmagic. And basically they showed the latest features from Creative Cloud, including giving users some effects capabilities within Premiere, including animated titles. The character animator has gotten an upgrade and now can be used with Facebook Live. So you could literally go on Facebook Live and have an animated character in your Facebook Live thing. And do it all live, which is really kind of crazy. And they also have given Premiere a new audio mixing seems to be the thing at NAB this year, and they're doing they've got a new audio mixing function that kind of draws inspiration from the Lumetri color panel. It's kind of the same kind of vibe, except it's for doing audio mixing of vocals and music and that type of thing, so that you can really...
It's called the Essential Sound Panel.
The Essential Sound Panel.
And it showed up last year in Audition. They took it from Audition, moved it into Premiere,
yes.
And they also, along with it, moved a bunch of Audition filters, so now they're upgrading the audio filters as well as the Essential Sound Panel in Premiere to give us much higher quality, which I was very impressed with when I took a look at the latest version.
And if you've been following attention to what Adobe's been doing over at Adobe Labs lately, They've been doing some really interesting stuff over at when Adobe Max was in back in April. They did a demonstration of, they took somebody's voice and they were able to modulate the voice to where it could be sounding like somebody else. Like, that's really cool and really,
really
frightening
scary,
at the same time.
Boy, that's the truth.
And they also have a partnership going on with Palm 5 through Adobe Stock, where you'll be able to license B-roll and stock footage for your production. And not only that, they've now opened it up so you could actually upload your own footage and sell it.
That's very cool.
They're kind of doing the same thing where you upload the footage, then a couple of hours you get approval, and then you're selling your own footage right through the Adobe Stock panel, which is really, really super cool.
Okay, what else we got?
Kingston has this really interesting hockey puck like device. Literally, it's about half the size of an iPhone, and it's able to stream over 800 different streams at nearly 4 gigabytes a second. They've got this stand up that has 4 55-inch LED panels. Each one of them is showing 200 different streams all across the deal, and they're all running independently through this little tiny device that is about half the size of an iPhone. I've never seen anything like that.
Wow, the bandwidth on that is amazing.
Yeah, almost 4 gigabytes per second. It's just wild. I've never seen anything like it. And so, MusicShare is about, you know, if there's a short film competition that's going on, chances are you're going to be getting your music from MusicShare. They're always doing the short film competitions, and this year they're having their first ever independent film music licensing conference in Fort Worth, Texas. They're going to bring down some of their favorite filmmakers to give presentations. They're going to have concerts every night, and tickets go on sale on May 1st.
For people that want to keep track of all this information, where can they go on the web?
All these stories and more can be found at dottlenews.com.
And the thing I like about Dottle News is not only does it cover technology news and it covers production news, but it also has film reviews and behind-the-scenes reports. So if you haven't visited Dottle News recently, take a look at the kind of story coverage that they're providing. James DeRuvo is the senior writer covering film and technology for Dottle News. The website is Dottle, D-O-D-D-L-E, news, dottlenews.com. And James, as always, thanks. We'll look forward to talking to you again tomorrow afternoon.
See you tomorrow.
Take care. I love wrapping up with James's reports. It gives me a chance to see all the stuff that's going on at this show that we don't have a chance to cover, because there are over 1,800 exhibitors at NAB, and we're talking to over 100 of them, but there's still a lot that we just can't cover, and James makes that possible for us to extend our reach. It's always good to have his reports on the show. I want to thank our guests today, Patrick Santucci, the technical and marketing representative for Sigma, Cameron John, the Chief Marketing Officer for Amp Live, Paul Rodriguez, the Board Treasurer for Motion Picture Sound Editors, and as always, James Ruvo with his Dottle News Report. The buzz is going to wrap up for today, taking advantage of the fact that the sun is setting and it's time for us to get some rest. But we were going to be back tomorrow at 10 o'clock with shows every hour, and all kinds of new people to talk to and new announcements. I want to thank our series producer, Debbie Price, our technical crew. My name is Larry Jordan, and thanks for listening to the Digital Production Buzz covering the NAB Show 2017.
NAB Show Buzz is copyright 2017 by Thalo, LLC. The Digital Production Buzz at NAB was sponsored by Maxon and Thalo Arts.